And welcome back. Teenage pregnancy is a major social problem in America today. We lead the industrialized world in teen pregnancies. The cost to taxpayers is enormous. We're talking in this segment about a program to deal with it. The goal is to decrease high school pregnancy and thereby help increase high school graduation rates through information, incentives, and scholarships. It's called Conscious Choice, a component of RITE, the E. Desmond Lee Regional Institute of Tutorial Education at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Joining me to talk about Conscious Choice are Professor Judith Cochran, the E. Desmond Lee Endowed Professor of Tutorial Education and Executive Director of RITE. Asia Slaughter is a former participant in Conscious Choice at Roosevelt High School and a student at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Thank you, ladies, so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Judith Cochran, let me begin with you. How serious a problem is it in this area, teenage pregnancy?
If you take the numbers, there's more pregnancy in St. Louis than there is in surrounding areas and the state of Missouri. It's going down. The numbers are going down, but they're not going down fast enough to prevent the kind of difficulties that the girls have once they have babies and try to graduate from school. So when we started at Roosevelt High School, which was in 2009, from ninth graders to the 12th graders, there are 75 pregnancies. So now at Roosevelt for the last 2 years, the girls that are enrolled in Conscious Choice have not had any pregnancies at all. So that's around 60 or 70 girls.
Well, what is Conscious Choice doing to establish this fine record?
Well, let me explain. Asia has been in Conscious Choice since she was a freshman or a sophomore?
Sophomore.
Sophomore at Roosevelt. So why don't you give him a little background of what happened?
Well, what kind of helps that Conscious Choice does to decrease the pregnancy within the high school girls is they give out very informative information. So they talk about knowing how to use contraceptives, and they talk about abstinence, and they just present the information that a lot of us didn't get from when we were at home or, you know, within our community. So they offered that information to us, you know, and kind of was that encouragement and kind of that backbone to let us know that, okay, maybe this is your surrounding, this is maybe your environment, but you can definitely change that around. You don't have to become a teen mother so early. You don't have to become a mother so early. You could get your education, and then you could think about parenthood later on in your years. But yeah, for me, definitely Conscious Choice, definitely they provided us with the information that we needed to keep us on track and letting us know that education should come first.
As I say, Professor, it seems to be working. The kids respond, you know, and that's a tough age to make any kind of a point. Young people don't always respond to what older people are saying.
One of the things we do, well, we do three or four things that I think are making it positive. One is we have a base in the schools themselves of people that are supporters, and we call at Roosevelt is one example, but we're in other high schools, but I'll just stay with Roosevelt because Asia's here. But they have what they call the pearls, and the girls are the pearls, and the women who help them dress in black and wear pearls on the days of their events, so they know that we're there and we're supporting them. And we've had women from churches, we've had women who are running business in the area, and they mentor them. And the mentors have done, like last year alone, there was a young girl in Conscious Choice who could not, her parents would not allow her to stay in the home, so they kicked her out before she was 18, and so she lived with one of her Conscious Choice mentor, and another one is a refugee. One of the girls in Conscious Choice is a refugee from Syria and then from Iraq, and then she came to the United States in 2000, and I think she said six, but she did not speak a word of English. And she said her mentor has made the world to her, and she's now using, we give scholarships. The University of Missouri-St. Louis gives scholarships. And also we go out and ask people to help us with scholarships. So Clayton Ledoux Rotary gave us a scholarship for a young girl who wanted to be a nurse, but she could not afford going to any place other than Forest Park Community College, which is where she got her first 2 years of nursing. So they supported her in that time period.
This is part, obviously, of the incentive program that you have to get people to kind of follow the gospel as you present
that's,
it.
That's right. Give them hope beyond high school.
Asia, what about young men? I mean, it takes two to tango, as they say, and the message really has to be distributed equally, I would think. Are men involved in this?
Actually, the past year, back last year, they actually went into middle schools and they started a co-ed program. So in middle schools right now, Fannie, Long, and
Lovature.
Those are the three main middle schools right now that they decided to introduce Conscious Choice as a co-ed program. So I was there when they first did it at Fannie, and they show videos of actual young teen fathers and them explaining as to why they wish they would have waited, because, you know, motherhood at an early age can be hard, and so can fatherhood. So we're hoping to push it co-ed in high school, too, because, of course, we're going to need it. Like you said, it takes two to tango. But, yeah, definitely in the middle schools, we're trying to get them younger to let them know that it's okay for both male and female to hold off on becoming parents so soon.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that at the junior high, we're giving mostly information. Like, I volunteered my daughter, who's a nurse, to go in and talk about different kinds of problems that they might have physically at the junior high level, eighth grade. And so, and then they asked questions. So it was very well received.
Some years ago, there was a program, and I'm not sure what it was called, in which teens and high school teens were required to carry around a doll, a life-size baby doll that I think would cry and had to be attended to, and that would just to let them know that this is what life would be like if they had a baby. Is that still going on? Is that part of your program or any that you know about?
It's not a part of Conscious Choice program, but I do remember when I was younger, I had friends who had older siblings who were in school districts that could afford those type of programs. And I do remember them like having to carry around the baby. But as far as it being a Conscious Choice, no, we just try to provide them with as much information as we can as possible.
What is your approach? You do mentoring. Mm-hmm. What is your approach when you approach a young lady? How do you broach the subject?
I approach the subject as me not coming to them as a stranger or just as somebody who's just like, you know, this is what you should do. I try to approach them as like, you're a part of me, I'm a part of you type. I went to Roosevelt, so majority of the girls I personally know. So when I talk to them, I try to talk to them on the level that they can understand that, you know, it's okay to wait. I try to approach them in more of like a big sister manner to try to just like get them to be encouraged to just stay in school and get your education first and just know that you can always, you know, there's no problem with waiting and wanting to have children. So I approach them in that manner of being open and let them know that, you know, you can be open with me and, you know, we can establish that trust. So, you know, when we get to that point where we can really talk and communicate, you don't have any problems with telling me how you feel, and I can reciprocate that back.
Professor Cochran, how do you recruit mentors?
Well, in the past, we've gone to the Gender and Women's Studies program, and there are women that are taking courses interested in women and their issues. So we would then have one or two interns that we would assign to the children, they're not children, to the young ladies that become freshmen at our university. And then we locate her, and she maintains contact by email, and then they meet together at different times to have some kind of discussion about. There's a lot of resources at the university that are underused in the sense that these girls don't go there because they don't know about them.
Isn't your scope, however, rather limited? I mean, just a small number of high schools that we're talking about. Isn't that right?
Yes. Right. Well, they're the comprehensive high schools. Those are the ones that must take everybody that comes to their door, which means they must really take good care of everybody because they've got different kinds of needs. They're not just coming from one location sometimes.
What about expansion? I mean, is that in the works to cover more ground?
I would love to do it. Yeah. We don't have any funding other than what I'm doing, which is I pay for Asia. I pay for one of our staff persons who goes out there regularly, Linda Bell, and she's very much she's one of them that started this because she was in Beaumont and she kept seeing all these pregnant girls, and she said, "This is what's going on here, because this is not what I expected to see," because she'd been working at the elementary level. Mm-hmm. So we began it at that point, and what we do is I provide scholarships to those girls that are graduating seniors to the University of Missouri St. Louis. And that's why we need help with other universities, because we don't have any scholarship for those.
Need help? What specifically do you mean when you say you need help from other universities to get them involved in a similar kind of program, or offer scholarships, sort of thing?
Yes, offer scholarships. And we also, Clayton Ledoux Rotary has given us 2 years' worth of money, which is $1,000, and we're going to spend $500 next year and $500 the following year, so we can support some different programs and hopefully do some expansion.
That's $1,000. That's nothing.
That's all we operate on. We've got wonderful volunteers. I mean, the Committee for Conscious Choice, they all got together and had a dress-down day. And we just had an event yesterday at Roosevelt. And the girls wrote their essays, as to the graduating seniors, as to why I wanted to remain child-free and graduate. And so they each wrote essays. And then they talked about – they got a $50 gift certificate from the Conscious Choice Committee. And then there was a ladies' sorority that's sponsored by Gwen Meyer. And they gave us – they're called the Eta Mu Sigma of Sigma Gamma, and they gave them book vouchers for going to college.
If someone's listening now, for instance, who would like to become involved in terms of financial help, how would they go about doing that?
We have a special fund set up at the St. Louis Public Foundation for money that would go to St. Louis Public Schools for this. And if we got more money, then it would come to the University of Missouri St. Louis, and we would set up a separate fund there for Conscious Choice, so that we would have the money to go and hire more tutors and also hire – we're also giving writing tutoring now. That's a new thing we've had to do. So we take the girls, and we have a woman on our staff who is was an outstanding teacher. Her name is Anna Gardner Andrews, and she – goes out and spends about 5 hours a week working with the Conscious Choice girls to help improve their writing. And now they've asked for us to come out and do that for the freshman year, so that by the time they get to be seniors, they'll be proficient.
Yeah. You do have some partnerships. You alluded to that earlier, companies or people that you are working with. Who are some of those, and what do they do aside from fund, if in fact they do help fund?
Well, the only two partnerships that we really have are the Sigma Gamma for the Roosevelt girls, and we also have the Clayton Ledoux Rotary. Then they've given us scholarships, and they've given us from their charitable giving fund, they gave us this $1,000. The rest of it is coming from my endowment as an endowed professor, and so I take my money and hire tutors for these girls. They needed math tutoring a couple of years ago. And also interns, as many as we can get.
I somehow thought the YWCA was involved in this. Did I misread something?
No, they're not involved in this, but they're on our board. Uh-huh. And so the people that are on our board are involved in our literacy programs. The Wright is a collaborative of the largest school districts in the area and that are underserved. And then the four big universities, Harris Stowe and Fontbonne and SLU and UMSL. And we've had in the past WashU and Webster, but they're not participating anymore. So anyway, we have those resources, and then we also have after-school programs. We are training people to work in the schools because they have such a need, and we have the we have the skills and the talent. So we hire UMSL students and SLU students and Harris Stowe students to go out and tutor the children in the schools, and we train them first, and then we supervise them.
At what age do you start with these tutoring? What age group?
Well, we tutor as low as kindergarten.
Really?
Oh. And we're in the Chinese immersion school. We just started that this year, and now the Spanish immersion charter school has come to us and asked us to do with Spanish. But we put out. We started with little kindergartners there.
Can't start too early, I guess.
No. Well, we're tutoring them in English because they're speaking speaking Chinese the whole time. So when they come to school and are asked to read and write in English, it's a difficult job for them. So we've got two tutors out there now that are working just with kindergarten, first and second graders, teaching them English.
Asia, what got you started in all of this?
Well, when Conscious Choice was first brought to my attention back in high school, I was always one of those students where I was just like, you know, if I could just make it through high school, I've always wanted to go to college. And so when the program was offered, it was kind of an opportunity that presented itself for me to, you know, just like, okay, this is my opportunity to take because I know I want to become something more than what I'm used to seeing. So when they basically read the description of what Conscious Choice was and how it's there to support young girls like myself and to help keep us from having children so early, I just jumped on it, and I enjoyed the ride that I've had ever since. And Conscious Choice has really been there for me. My mentors, Dr. Cochran, she's definitely been a person for me. She's definitely been there for me. Conscious Choice has given me so many opportunities. It's opened up a lot of doors for me. And if, like I said, they're a band of women who are there to encourage and support us young women that are coming up. So that's something that I definitely appreciated because that's something that I haven't always gotten. So to be around women that are educated, have their own business, and know a lot and is there to offer their support and just want to be there for us, I definitely, you know, just took the opportunity that presented itself.
Do you think you'd be in college now if it weren't for this organization?
Honestly, I would probably be in college, but I don't think I would be doing as well as I am if it wasn't for Conscious Choice. Because like I said, the women that are involved in it have really pushed me. And when I say push, they really pushed me, even when a point where I wanted to give up on college. They just pushed me and pushed me to just know that, you can make it through, just keep going. So that's what Conscious Choice is to me, so...
And your peers, when you were having these revelations, when your life was changing, what was their reaction to what you were going through?
My peers' reaction, they were, you know, it's okay, you can go through, you know, just keep going. When I was going through all of this, when I was in high school, they wanted to know what it is that I was doing. I would tell them about Conscious Choice and how they should be a part of it. But, I mean, you can only tell people so much without them. It's up to them whether or not they want to do it. But my peers now, my friends, they're there to encourage me, too. And I tell them about things that I'm doing. And I try to get them involved as much as possible. Actually, when I was at Harris Stowe, before I transferred to the University of Missouri, St. Louis, a young man who I was friends with named Malcolm Penton, I actually told him about the Wright program and tutoring, and he was able to come and get on, join the team, and he's been doing good ever since. So, you know, it's just all about once you get help, it's all about helping other people. So,
Judith Cochran, you've got a pretty good ambassador here, I would say.
I sure do. Isn't she wonderful?
What do you want the takeaway from this program and your appearance here today to be with our audience?
I would like for them to know that this is a program that does make a difference in young girls' lives. It's a grassroots program. We could certainly use some more grassroots, and we would like some help if people are interested in all aspects of what we're doing. We've got a mentoring program with a mentoring book. We've got the one that we had yesterday, the Conscious Choice team at Roosevelt bought chicken and mashed potatoes and had a wonderful dinner for those girls. And in the past, we've worked on things like we've had a nice dinner out so that they could practice etiquette, and we've had a fashion show which people gave clothes. So,
and you're doing all of this, obviously, on a shoestring.
Absolutely, yes, but we're loving it.
We'll end it on that point. Thank you so much, Professor Judith Cochran, for being with us. Congratulations on the program. It sounds great.
Thank you, Don, for having us here.
Asia Slaughter, congratulations to you, too, for handling all aspects of it so very well.
Thank you.
Great to meet you. That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, join Steve Potter for Cityscape, and he'll talk with soprano Sylvia McNair about her performance in St. Louis. He'll also take a look at African Musical Arts' new project to provide a comprehensive database of African music, and he'll also talk about the work of the community-supported Arts St. Louis. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the image of the Metro East. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. The program is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Avita Caldwell, Aaron Dorr, Katie Cook, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. The program is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.